generation? Not pathetic, prophetic. Now, much of what the church has been passing off as prophetic has been pathetic. But I promise you, according to the Scriptures, we are the prophetic generation. And we're going to talk about that a while. We're going to talk about what the prophetic is. Matter of fact, you need to, if you hadn't got this, there's some teaching tapes over here about the prophetic. And one is the prophetic anointing. Be good to pick that up. And here's one that deals with some of the things that's happened in y'all's state. We prophesied about the earthquake that came the day before it came, the one that came down here in L.A. And we talked about it, and the Lord, we spoke about it, the Lord, and it's on television footage the night before it happened. And we talked about God bringing judgment upon the trendsetters and sin centers of our nation. One judgment would be earthquake. And then we declared that everything about the earthquake would show the mercy of God, and it would be something that God was saying very strong to the nation. If you remember the earthquake, it happened at 4:31 a.m. Acts 4:31 talks about a shaking when the church prays, and it really is something, and it really is amazing. So God has somehow used us in the prophetic. I really don't understand a lot about it, but it's tremendous. And most of the things that we prophesied has been taped or televised so that anybody can give commentary on the news, but a real prophetic person is supposed to be declaring the news before it happens. And that's part of what the church really needs. We need to have understanding of the times and what we ought to do. So we'll be talking about the prophetic. I want to give you this book. It talks about the sons of Issachar and knowing the times and the seasons and what they ought to do. So that has a little teaching about that. And so be pretty good. Well, good. Everybody say it's good.
Good.
To be a believer.
Be a believer.
God has a purpose.
God has a purpose.
And God has a plan.
God has a plan.
I'm in the kingdom.
For such a time as this.
But greater than that,
the kingdom is in me.
For such a time as this. Oh, listen, it really is. We're in the kingdom for such a time as that. That's Esther 4:14. And I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. It talks about the Lord revealing secrets. Now, it may be a little disturbing to some of you to understand that God has secrets, but He does. God has secrets. And God will reveal His secrets to a certain segment of the ministry when we really set our heart to seek Him. And in Deuteronomy 29:29, we find a very important truth concerning, I believe, the prophetic. I'll give you a moment to find that. I've enjoyed being here. Before we start preaching, I think I want to just kind of mess with Brother Rodney and Mary for a moment. Listen, God really spoke to my heart about you this afternoon. He said you're a Braveheart, like into the movie. You remember the Braveheart movie that came up? But He said your heart is brave and you really are going to be on a crusade to bring a real change. And it's going to be really good. And the Lord spoke to me about your heart, Mary. And He said you do have the heart like Mary mentioned in the Bible. And you really have said to the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. And the Lord really loves that. And so that's both of y'all's prayer. Both of your prayer is, Lord, whatever you want. And so that is a brave heart to say that during these days. Because many forces are against the Holy Spirit having His way. But I have an idea that God is going to have His way. Don't you? It kind of comes with the job description of being God. You know, don't you think so? You mean there's no board He has to check with. There's no elders meeting. There's no deacons meeting. He's God. And He just pulls off whatever He wants to. He said He's in heaven. He does whatever His counsel desires to do. And He is the chief counsel there, isn't He? Well, I do have a prophetic word for the Bay Area and really for the entire West Coast region. God is about to release a healing anointing and a healing manifestation of the healing power of Christ like it's been unprecedented. And it's going to be coming, and I think it'll start in Spokane and it'll go from Vancouver all the way down the coastline here. And it's going to be, the seeds were sown when John G. Lake was here, and that is the seed. Now, a seed produces a harvest. A harvest is always greater than the seed, correct? Now, the U.S. government said at this time when John G. Lake's ministry was flowing and functioning in the Spokane area that it was the healthiest city in the nation. And it really is. It really was at that time. And the Lord spoke to me and said He's restoring that harvest of a healing ministry that was there when John G. Lake was there. So I went to John G. Lake's grave the other day and carried some of our team members, and we flung ourselves about that grave, receiving more anointing. You say, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, don't tell the people that wrote the Bible about it. Remember in Elisha's time? Elisha died, is that correct? And was buried, and what happened? There was a war went on, a battle was fought, and a man was killed, and so they didn't have time to properly bury him, so they just found this used grave and tossed this dead guy in, and what happened? His bones hit the bones of Elisha. Boom! He was resurrected. Post-mortem anointing, isn't that good? Listen, that's pretty good. Had more anointing dead than most people have alive. Isn't that awesome? Could be that God is trying to kill us. You know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. You know, that would be a good resurrection to have, wouldn't it? You sung about it a while ago. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Have you found Deuteronomy 29:29? This means yes. Everybody say, I found it. Now let's read and look what it says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Now, how do we get to know the secret things of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 2:9-10 says, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches, yea, the deep things, the secret things of God. So there's a real key right there. If we're going to know, comprehend, observe, and be enlightened about the secret things of God, we are going to have to be told about those secrets by the Holy Spirit. Psalms 42:2 says, deep is crying to deep. And there is this deep pull of the Spirit of God pulling into people's hearts, saying, let's go deeper with God. How many of you here tonight want to go deeper with God? Sick and tired of the superficial, sick and tired of the shallow. Remember the story in the Bible where the Lord said that a river started, and it started from the very throne altar of God, and it went out, and the man went out and measured, and it was ankle deep, went out a little further, knee deep, went out a little further, waist deep, and he went out a little farther, and it was a river deep enough to swim in. Now, that river is talking about the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow a river of living water, this spake ye of the Spirit. Now, how many of you believe that the Lord is trying to coach us out into deeper water? We don't want a muddy mud crawl around the bank, do we? Now, there's one thing about the river. When you get out in that river deep enough to swim in, a river has a force and a course. And what you need to do is submit yourself to the river. Just get in the river and let the river, being the Holy Spirit, carry you wherever and whatever He wants to do with you. I like the course and the force of the river. You believe a river has a course and a force? Grand Canyon area, have you seen it? Guess what made it? A river. A course and a force. And let me tell you something. God's river is really flowing. I want to get in the deep things of God. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Now, God says this about His secret things. He said, I will share my secret things with a certain segment of the body of Christ. Amos 3:7. Everybody say Amos 3:7. Let's read that. I want to show it to you. Amos 3:7. Now, Amos is one of the minor prophets in the Bible. Not minor because what he had to say was not of content. Minor because he didn't say a lot, but what he said was a lot. Now, look at this. Amos 3:7. Remember now, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us. And He's going to tell us what segment of the body of Christ He reveals secrets to. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Now, is that what God says? Is that what the Word says? Right. Now, if that's true, and we want to know the secret things of God, we better start embracing the prophetic. Because God shares His secrets, He doesn't do anything without first revealing what He's about to do to His friends, His servants, the prophets. John 15:15 says, I don't call you servant anymore, I call you friend, because the servant is not aware of what his master is about to do. So He is referring to His prophetic people here, that He will reveal His secrets to them. And you know, that is really the truth. The Lord will send out prophetic utterance about what He's going to do. And God has used us somehow to do that. that. I'll give you one illustration that can be absolutely documented concerning one of the ways God used us one time in a prophetic encounter. How many of you have ever heard of a man called Paul Cain? Paul Cain is a real noted prophet. He's literally a prophet like the Old Testament statute, really has a tremendous gifting and a proven ministry about the prophetic. There's another man who is kind of a governmental entourage kind of guy. I don't know what you would call him, a liaison between different nations. I'd met him one time, and his name was Newman Payton. I met him one time in Germany. He walked into a hotel room and the Lord showed me a hotel lobby, and the Lord showed me some things concerning him. And that was my first encounter with a man called Newman Payton. He lived in New Mexico. Now, I go back to Bullard after meeting Newman Payton one time, and I was already a friend with Paul Cain. And so I'm there in Bullard. I'm sitting at my desk one day, and I just was kind of waiting on the Lord. And I said, "Lord, if you want to speak to me, I sure would like to hear anything you've got to say." And he said, "Yes. Fax Newman Payton and say to Newman Payton, yes, Paul Cain is the man of God and will have the word of God in his mouth for Kurt Waldheim." Now, Kurt Waldheim at one time was president of Austria. He was president of the United Nations. Kurt Waldheim. And so I said to the Lord, "No, I don't want to get involved in stuff like that." That's what I said to the Lord. And the Lord said, "You better do what I said and do it now." So I wrote out a little memo. "Yes, Paul Cain is the man of God, will have the word of God in his mouth for Kurt Waldheim." And I sent my fax to Newman Payton. I'm in Texas. Newman Payton is in New Mexico. What I didn't know was, just a few seconds before, Newman Payton had faxed Paul Cain to come to Vienna, Austria, and have a sit-down dinner with Kurt Waldheim and his wife, Elizabeth. Now, Newman Payton had just sent his fax out to Paul Cain, and then he bowed his head over on the desk and said, "Oh God, was that really you?" Out of his fax machine came, "Yes, Paul Cain is a man of God, will have the word of God in his mouth for Kurt Waldheim." That's pretty concrete, isn't it? And all of that is documentable because a fax machine gives the day and the hour and the second, the minute, and all that that the fax were sent out. In a moment, my fax machine lit up. Then let me tell you something. God wants to confirm His Word. And He confirms His Word through the mouths of His prophets. And so we've had all kind of encounters like that. There's been tremendous times. We prophesied about the day and the hour the Desert Storm War would happen and did this on television footage 6 months, I think, like that before it happened, and told about all the procedures of the Desert Storm War. Said we saw Saddam Hussein marching out of Baghdad, turning back, shooting towards Israel, and that he would set the oil wells on fire and all this kind of stuff. But see, God shares His secrets with His servants, the prophets. Now, that is really true. And I do not really claim to be a prophet. Sometimes we operate some way in a prophetic realm, and we do operate with people who are prophetic. And I think sometimes their anointing jumps off on me and mine jumps off on them, and it kind of enhances the whole bunch of us. Do you believe you can get around somebody prophetic and it'll enhance your prophetic gift? You remember Saul? Saul was going to be anointed to be king. And Samuel told Saul, "Go join yourself with the company of prophets." And when he got by the company of prophets, Saul began to prophesy. And it was even to such a degree, people said, "Is Saul one of the prophets?" That's a great study. You need to study about Saul and about David. It's a wonderful little contrast in studies. You remember Saul was the first king anointed over the children of Israel? Now, it was never God's plan to anoint Saul to be king over Israel. It was never God's plan to give Saul as king over Israel. But they whined and they begged and they said, "We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the world. We want to be like everybody else." So God said, "Hey, you whine long enough, I'll just give you what you're whining about." Now, what was Saul doing when Samuel found him? Samuel's a great prophet of God. Saul was out doing what? Looking for his daddy's lost asses, his wild donkeys. Out looking for a bunch of lost and wild asses. That's what the Scripture says. What a symbolic gesture that is. Who took his place when Saul forfeited the kingdom because he rebelled against the will of God and the Word of God and the ways of God, and God took the kingdom away, so Saul wanted to hang on to his supernatural power, went to the witch of Endor, remember the deal? And he fell upon the sword and committed suicide. But guess what? Who was to take his place? David. What was David doing when Samuel came to find him to anoint him king over Israel? Tending to his father's sheep. Great contrast there. Somebody out trying to herd up a bunch of wild asses, and somebody faithfully keeping the father's sheep. Which one do you suppose really was the one to be anointed king over Israel? David. Jesus says about the kingship of David, it is an eternal kingship. Matter of fact, Jesus himself one day will set up on the throne of David. It's a real good deal. Well, good. Y'all all right? That's pretty good. I'm looking forward to the 50s party. Wish I was hanging around. When is that? October the 24th? Well, I'm going to be somewhere. August the 24th? That's going to be a good party. It's going to be good. Remember we talked about the 50s, God's restoring back the power that came back in the 50s with Branham and all that. We've been on a 40-year wilderness journey. You believe that? We have, because the church rejected the Holy Ghost. And William Branham prophesied about the church in America rejecting the Holy Ghost. And we've been on a wilderness journey for 40-something years, but that is over with now, so I'm glad of that. That's real good. I want to talk about the prophetic a little bit. The Bible says we should covet to prophesy. The Bible says despise not prophesying. Have you ever studied the word covet? It means get the hots for. I'm telling you. It literally is a sexual term. Stirred with passion. And the Bible says, brethren, covet to prophesy. Does that sound like the Scriptures teach that we should be earnestly desiring to prophesy? Now, why should we earnestly desire to let the gift of prophecy work in our life? 1 Corinthians 14 tells us three things will happen when people are prophesying under the gift of the Holy Spirit. Three things will happen in the church: edification, exhortation, and comfort. How many churches could stand a little bit of those three? Is that what it says happens? 1 Corinthians 14? 1 Corinthians 14 says that he that prophesies, when he's prophesying under the anointing and the gift of the Spirit of God, three things will happen: edification, exhortation, and comfort. Strength. I don't know of a church in the world that couldn't use that ministry. And it says also in 1 Corinthians 14 that if somebody comes into your midst that is unlearned or an unbeliever, and everybody's speaking in tongues, that person is going to assess your spirituality and say, you're goofy. That's what it says. But if somebody comes into your fellowship and everyone is prophesying and the secrets of his heart is made known, he will fall on his face and testify of the fact that Jesus Christ is in your midst. How many of you would like that kind of reaction in your church? Amen. People on their face glorifying God, saying Jesus is here. Amen. That's what will happen when you're doing biblical, New Testament, prophetic. Now let me tell you something about this prophetic. It began to really start moving some in America. It started moving somewhere in the mid-80s. And then you know what happened? The devil began to try to counterfeit it with a critical spirit and a judgmental spirit, trying to pass itself off as prophetic. A lot of people think that a prophet is somebody mad, mean, just looking to expose everybody's sins. That's a critical, judgmental spirit. That's not a prophetic spirit. Y'all understand the difference? Yeah. And see, that's what happened kind of in the mid-80s. A lot of critical spirit, judgmental spirits begin to try to cloak themselves saying, yes, I'm prophetic, I see this, 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 this. Well, let me tell you something. If you were to see something negative about somebody's life, you know why God would show you that negative about their life? So you could intercede for them, so you could pray for them, not so you could blast it over the whole community. Mm-hmm. Right. Disney Jess. Right. Remember now, when you're prophesying, three things are going to happen if you're prophesying of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is a difference between the office of prophet and the gift of a prophet. There's a difference. I think with the office of prophet, that is part of the ascension gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4. Now, you do believe and do know that we've got to have the fivefold ministry flowing and functioning in the church if we're going to receive the full stature of the measure of Christ. Amen. Ephesians 4:11. Now, the fivefold ministry, you remember what they are? Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Did you know the church in my whole lifetime is run off of one ministry? pastoral ministry, and the word pastor is used one time in the New Testament. Isn't that shocking? That's a real shocker, guys. That's one of them, oh my God! One time in the New Testament, the word pastor is used. The whole church in America is built around one ministry, the pastoral ministry. Where's the other four, guys? Where is the evangelist? Where is the teacher? Where is the apostolic? Where is the prophetic? If we're going to receive the full measure of Christ, we've got to receive the flowing and the function of the whole fivefold, the hand of God extended. Well, God is restoring those things. Now, I hope you don't believe that all of those passed away. Well, the Bible says prophecy will cease when we all... when we all reach full maturity. I don't know of a full mature church yet, do you? Now, some of these guys in California think they are, but they're not. You heard the teaching by some of them, you know? Well, all that ceased with the... Well, listen, no, listen. If ever we need the prophetic, it's now. If ever we need the apostolic government, it's now. If ever we need the evangelist and the reaper, it's now. If ever we need the teacher, it's now. If ever we need the pastoral, the leading, and the guide, it's now. People are mixed up as a termite and a yo-yo about this stuff, man. You believe that? Duh. It's time we were like the sons of Issachar. Let's kick me that ball. What, y'all playing soccer? You play soccer? That's pretty good. I saw a cancer fall off of somebody about the size of this ball one time. Not quite this big. Maybe just a little bit smaller than this. A woman had a cancer in her body and the Lord took it off. That was the neatest thing, man. It was really neat. And God healed her instantly right there in front of a lot of people. And guess what happened? One of the friends in the church didn't believe in healing. So she came to that woman and said, you know, that was just something psychological. You know, something this big ain't psychological when it disappears and dissipates off your body. But her friend, who was an unbeliever, talked her out of her healing and said, oh, but listen, she was already scheduled. It came from a word of knowledge. I said, there's somebody in the building, you got a big cancer in your tummy. If you'll come down here, the Lord's going to heal you. This woman who didn't know much about the supernatural at all walked down and God healed her right in the middle of the whole deal. And this other lady who was going to cause unbelief to happen really in essence caused everybody's faith to soar because she talked this woman into going for surgery after the Lord had already healed her. And so they had all of this documentation of a big growth in there about the size of this ball, a little bit smaller than this ball. And guess what happened? When the doctors cut her open, they said, oh my, something phenomenal has happened. No growth. And see, the very one that's trying to spurn unbelief created real belief. Don't you like that? See, God is really, really going to pull this thing off. He's going to have everybody realize that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Isn't that nice? You know, I'm a little bit, got a little jealous for the glory of God. And God said, don't worry about me. I'll handle that. You know, I'm tired of people saying, where is their God? God's about to show up. So you believe that?
Right.
About to show up in church. Yeah, you're going to preach the gospel. You know that. There's anointing on this kid to preach the gospel. And it's going to be because of the lineage line gift that came down. And, you know, it talks about leaving your children an inheritance. And so there's something for him that came from that promise in the scriptures. I will leave our children's children an inheritance. And so that's you fell into that because that's part of your lineage line heritage. But he's going to preach the gospel with power and anointing and authority. And so it's going to be really good. He won't have to go through all this crap that you and I have gone through. And that's what it is, crap. Paul says all of that things that I did hang on to, I count but dung, pile of poop. Correct? Well, you've never read the Bible. That's the problem. That's, you know, isn't that right? Well, I know a lot of people hanging on to garbage. Paul had more poop to hang on than you do. I mean, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, touching a law blameless. Now, I mean, a Pharisee and a Hebrew, a Pharisee of Pharisees meant something. It meant he could quote verbatim the first five books of the Bible. As a law, touching a law blameless. They had 460-something laws per day they were regulated to keep, regimented to keep. Touching the law blameless, that means when he would make the sacrifice. Listen, this guy was a religious dude. Paul, the apostle. But he said, all that stuff I counted as gain, now I jettison it out to the dung pile. Isn't that good? He kicked it all out so he could really have the genuine anointing. So this guy's going to get the genuine anointing. He won't have to go through all that junk. See, you believe we've been indoctrinated with some junk? We have to unlearn some stuff? I mean, it's a doctrine of devils to teach that the Holy Spirit no longer flows and functions. Does the Bible say in the last days they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? That's what the Scripture says. But the Scriptures admonishes us to preach the gospel, be faithful in season and out of season, you know, make full proof of the ministry. Well, we've come to a wonderful pivotal time. Guess what? Jesus, the real Jesus, is about to stand up. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "What's this revolution you're talking about?" I said, "The church is about to revolt against this counterfeit Jesus."
Right.
There's a counterfeit Jesus in the churches that has no familiarity with the Jesus of the Bible. You know how he got there? He got there by man's religious ideas. You know God's plan? God's plan is found out in Genesis. Let us make man in our own image. Now, Satanists twist things. Satanists read the Bible through a mirror. Is that correct? They always pervert and twist things. Well, Satan's plan was, he twisted God's plan. God's plan was let us make man in our own image. So Satan twisted it and had man to make a God in his own image. And it's blatant enough now they'll even talk about it. We are God. You understand that? The fruit is just coming of the seed of humanism and all this junk that we've been going around. But the real Jesus is about to stand up. The real Jesus. He's about to stand up. He still heals. He still has authority. He still does mighty, wonderful miracles. And one thing that's missing in this modern day preaching is there's no fear of the Lord. Is that correct?
Right.
Well, the Lord seems to be initiating a godly fear. You know how He does that? It's just part of His nature. Ah, well, good. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. The secrets of the Lord. Now, I don't want to share a whole bunch of stuff to just blow us around tonight, but I want to share a few things. Revelation 19:10 talks about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you want to really have the testimony of Jesus, it is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. Concerning spiritual gifts, he said, I don't want you to be in the dark. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual matters or spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. The church is basically pretty ignorant because we really hadn't been taught much about spiritual gifts. We've been taught that they wasn't for today. They wasn't flowing and functioning today, but they are. You believe that's true?
Amen.
Now, let me ask you. I like kind of like this. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that the devil has a counterfeit of everything Jesus has the genuine, authentic of? If we're talking about this being a prophetic generation, and it is, what would be the counterfeit of the genuine prophetic? Psychic. The 1-900 friendly psychic number. Now, you say, oh, no, I know somebody. They call the 1-900 friendly psychic number, and, well, I've got a prophecy for you. You're going to spend some money. That's one thing you're going to do. You're going to spend some money. Plus, you could get a demon. Because if they get any genuine information, they get it from the dark side and not from the divine side. They get it from a spirit of divination. And so it really is hazardous to your health to deal with the 1-900 psychic numbers. It really is. They don't get anything from the divine side. They get it from the dark side. And we know the devil has one plan. Is that right? John 10:10, the thief comes but far to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. I mean, he's not a buddy. He's not going to whisper sweet nothings in your ear. He wants to cast you into hell. If he can't cast you into hell, he wants to make your life unfruitful and unproductive for the kingdom. And he wants to make your life a blasphemous testimony to the finished work of Calvary. So we don't want to have anything to do with unfruitful works of darkness. Jesus said it this way. He said, if the light that be in you be dark, how gross is that darkness? If the light that be in you be dark. Isn't that something? If the light that be in you be dark, how deep and dense is that darkness? Jesus said. So these satanic workers have a false light. I've had people say, oh no, man, I called so-and-so and they gave me my birthday. They gave me my... Only God could have known my cat was named Chester. Listen, a demon knows you got a cat named Chester. You understand that? So these demons give them information to hook you along. Oh no, I know somebody called a psychic and they got healed. Know what happened? One lesser demon gave way to a bigger demon. and manifested a pseudo fake healing so that you get more entwined and be a voice for the demonic instead of for the divine. You see that? It really is okay. Well, do you believe that the 1-900 psychics are booming right now? One of the fastest growing businesses in America is that. Call your telephone company and find out. Listen, there's a big, big market for that. Man, you can't hardly get television time for all those guys on there. But let me tell you what that's a sign of. That is a pulse beat of the American people saying, Church, we're starving for the prophetic. Do you know, years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said I should put a 1-900 number about the prophetic. Now it would be a little business, sacrilege and all that kind of stuff. It'd be hard to separate the vile from the precious. But isn't that something? Yeah, that's the truth. Is that the truth, Carolyn? I mean, a long time ago, before anybody ever did it. And I was going to ask them one question, and by that answer to the one question, I could tell them their future. Now, isn't that fine lining? I'm so sick of the New Age stealing our terms.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, people are scared to death to even mention the word rainbow. Well, hey, God used that as a covenant term. Oh, no, we couldn't associate the rainbow. Well, listen, everybody's talking about, well, you know, they got a spirit guide. Well, I got the spirit guide.
Right.
You understand that?
Right.
I'm tired of them saying, well, you know, we have out-of-body experience. We do too. It's a New Testament deal. Book of Acts, Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch and the Spirit caught him away. New Testament. Correct? I've had it happen to me. Well, I know you don't. Well, you say, you're weird. No, we're just getting normal. Just getting normal. We should be so much like the elder brother, the enemy can't tell the difference. We need a family resemblance, don't we? The elder brother being Jesus, we should be like him. It's God's plan to preordain us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Well, y'all get that? Well, the prophetic. It's good for us. Book of Joel says, in the last days, God's going to do something. Joel 2:28, what does He say? Well, He doesn't even say the last days. He said, in that day the Lord will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. And then the Apostle Peter coming in that day, in Acts 2:16-17, tells us which day that was. He adds something to what the prophet Joel said. Prophet Joel said, in that day God will pray out of His Spirit. Apostle Peter comes in Acts 2:16-17. And remember, can I just slow down and talk to y'all a while? Could we talk? Yeah, who's that girl that says that out here? Oh, Joan Rivers. Bless her heart. Facelift, you know, well, I don't want to get off on that kind of stuff. Joan Rivers, could we talk? You know, we need to talk, don't we? Could we talk? Okay. I just want to talk to you just a little bit about some of these things that God is doing now. We need to have a comprehension of really what's going on. We need to know where we're headed, what kind of a period we're in. Now, it says there in Joel that God will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Our sons and our daughters will prophesy. Now, every time God does a new move in the church, religious-minded people can't comprehend it. Acts 2, God did that new work in the church. You remember we talked about the other night? They're all in one place. Suddenly came a sound from heaven, rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they're sitting. There appeared on them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. They spoke in other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Remember that? And the religious-minded people said about that group, they're drunk. And the first thing they said is, what meaneth this? What in the world is going on? What meaneth this? That was a question from the religious-minded people. But here is the answer to it. God will always raise up guidelines from the prophetic to explain the new work of God. The Apostle Peter stands up in the midst of that time in Acts 2 in verse 16 and says, this is that. The question is, what meaneth this? What is this? The answer is, this is that, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he adds some enlightenment, some revelation, clarification, and amplification to what Joel said. In the last days, God will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. So he tells us the period of time. So I believe we're living in the last days. So that would make us living in the prophetic period. Then he says, in that day he'd pour His Spirit out upon all flesh. Our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. So that makes us a prophetic people living in a prophetic period. Correct? So if that's the purpose of God, we need to learn how to move into that. How do we begin to prophesy? We prophesy by faith. That's what he says over there in Romans 12. He that prophesies, let him prophesy according to his faith. And let me tell you, folks, it takes faith to prophesy. It takes faith to say to somebody like Russell, well, I believe the Lord said this. Now, that's the best way to do it. I mean, if you really... And the prophetic, the revelatory gifts come in different degrees. We've had what we call open visions. I mean, open vision where, boom! And I mean, it's technicolor, it's bigger than life. Now, that's high level kind of revelatory reception. And then we've had where we just got a little flash. Like maybe looking at a projector and it goes, tick, you know, and you just see it for a second. And then sometimes we just got impressions. Somebody was here last night and had an anointing on her. And she walked by another lady who was kneeling here who did have some pain. And this other lady was picking up prophetically the pain in this other lady. Now, you can get impressions like that. The lady got healed of that cancer. When she walked in front of us, I felt a big knot come in my tummy. And all of a sudden I felt it go, ooh, and I said, oh, I said, lady, what's God doing? But that's when a tumor fell, disappeared out of that lady. Now, that's the truth. Sometimes in these prophetic deals, you get around somebody and God will just touch you with whatever's touching them. And then you say, well, do you have a pain in your right shoulder? Hey, yeah, I was in a car wreck. Well, I believe God's going to heal it. You understand that? Now somebody said, what's the difference between a word of prophecy and a gift of knowledge or a word of wisdom? They're almost like twins. Only the one that birthed them can tell them apart. You understand that? The word of knowledge and the word of prophecy is linked almost like identical twins. Really. You have to really be familiar to tell the difference. And so we need to learn how to flow and function in the prophetic. Is the prophetic useful in the New Testament Christianity? What part could it play in evangelism? Let's look and see how Jesus used this gift of prophecy in John 4. Remember, the guys were hungry. They want to go to Burger King, get a sack of lunch or whatever they did. You remember? Jesus said, no, I'll sit here and wait. You remember? So they took off to the city. Jesus sat at a well, and here comes a woman. And Jesus says to the woman, would you please draw me a cup of water? She gets in a religious argument. She weirds out, freaks out. She gets in a religious argument with Jesus. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You're asking me to draw water out of here. You sit in that mountain. We sit over here. We're supposed to worship. Wait a minute, gal. A cup of water. You know, not a theological discourse. But in that little interchange, here's what Jesus says to the woman at the well. He says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And he says to her, quite candidly, well, you've answered that question correct. You've had five, and the guy you're shacked up with now is not your husband. She goes, I perceive you're a prophet. Ran into town, said to the town, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. And it said the people, by the droves, the throngs came out and believed in the gospel of Jesus. Now, isn't that something? Either there was an interchange between this prophetic anointing that was in Jesus, or there's a lot of stuff John didn't record. Come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Do you believe it doesn't take a lot of the prophetic input, seeing into somebody's life where they'll say, yes, I know that God sees everything about me now. Well, one time we was in a crusade, a coliseum, in one of the meetings we do, and a man walked up and television cameras rolling, microphones on, and I instantly saw that he was addicted to pornography. So I put my hand over the microphone, I lean over to his ear, he has a family with him, I lean over to his ear, and I whisper very, very secretly and very quiet to this man, and I say, oh sir, I see that you're addicted to pornography and God wants to set you free. Now, this is in the Colosseum. He stiffens up like this and he screams out loud, I'll have you to know I'm an elder in so-and-so church and I'm not addicted to pornography. Out of my mouth comes these words, well, whose X-rated magazine and X-rated video and gave the title of it, is that in your car under the spare tire? Okay, he was an elder in a church, so they come and they say, could we see the keys to your car? I mean, this thing is down where the rubber meets the road. Out to the car they went, unlocked the trunk, picked it up, and there was the video. There was the X-rated magazine. Now, you know what God was trying to do? He would have delivered that man privately, quietly, if he'd have just said, oh, please pray for me. But he was obstinate and stubborn. Some man's sins are open going before them into judgment. And it did work out. There was restoration and all this. One man came and the Lord said, he's having an affair. And I thought, oh God. And so I leaned over to him, whispered to him, sir, I see that you're involved with a woman. He stiffens up and says, I see you don't know what you're talking about. Out of my mouth came a certain date, a certain motel, and a certain room number. He said, oh, please pray for me. Now, do you believe God knows all our ways? And He shares His secrets with His servants, the prophets? Now, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't do that so that you'll feel condemned. He does it so you'll know that the all-seeing eye of God has you under surveillance. Where shall I flee from your presence? Answer is nowhere. I'm glad God has us under surveillance. Nothing can slip up on me without God watching, man. Do you believe God has you under surveillance? Now, you hear scientists say, well, do you think we're alone in this big universe? No. No, we're not alone. Angels everywhere. Divine and dark. Angel came the other night. Now, I don't know if you believe in angels or not, but you should. They're ministering spirits sent down to help you. If you don't want some divine help, just stumble through by yourself then. Really? Ministering spirits sent down to us. The other night I was studying. I was there at my desk studying. And I'm riding along there. And you know how you can sense a presence by you? And so all of a sudden, I was riding along there, and I sensed someone looking on my shoulder. I looked like this, and a big angel, about twice my size, and he was watching over me. And it startled me, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm watching over you. He responded to me like I responded to him. The Bible talks about that. I said, why? He said, you need it. We have documentation of angelic visitation. Isn't that something? Well... we need to welcome them. There's a bunch of them. The Bible says we've not come to Mount Zion, but we've come to New Jerusalem and an uncountable number of angels. Book of Hebrews tells us. Angels. They're just a bunch of them. We was in Spokane last week and some showed up in the building. Well, be careful how you entertain strangers. Some have had angelic visitation even and they didn't know it. Well... it's okay, isn't it? Why they look like any way they want to. Any way God gives them permission to look. They're spirits. They're pumita. They're wind. But they can take on form. Correct? Right. If you think I'm wrong, how do you think those sodomites got all worked up? Is that correct? When the angels came to visit Lot, the sodomites they saw them. I have an idea they looked handsome and virile, don't you? Because those guys got so worked up. You remember the story? And Lot was so perverted, he said, well, here, take my virgin daughters. Let's don't mess with the things of God. Now, isn't that weird? It came back to haunt Lot, too, when his daughters had intercourse with him. See, isn't that awful? This means, yeah. We're still struggling over that little intercourse deal. That ancestral line that they brought into the earth, incest with Lot and his daughters when they got him drunk. You remember the story? But see, all of that opened up when Lot says to that group of perverted men, oh, don't touch the angels of God. Take my daughters. See, he uncovered them and opened their heart for an evil seed to come. Now, the angels can take care of themselves. They're mightier than we are. What did they finally do? The angel said, no, you don't have to do that. And there these guys are saying, send these guys out that we can have perverted intercourse with them. And what did the angels do? Oh, God, look what a mess you've got to send. No. They smote them with blindness. The angels did. Say, I want them on my side, don't you? I could tell you, well, I don't get too weird on this thing. I've seen them, man. I've seen guys trying to kill me and angels protecting me. Truth. Yeah. One guy's a lunatic. And I didn't love him. I went to his house and he's laying naked in the bed. Filthy. I jerked a cover off the wall and threw it on him. Boy, I had no compassion for him at all. Went back to the office and the Lord said, boy, you really, really let me down. I said, God, didn't you see him? Semen all over the wall. Terrible junk. Lord said, you're going to have to go back down there to him now. Put your arm around him and tell him I love him. Perverted guy. I said, oh God. Another guy went with me. When we get there, the man's got some gym shorts on now. He's out in the yard and he has a fence post. He has a cedar fence post, which is about like a bat, only longer. And he's screaming at the top of his voice, whirling the post over his head, screaming. Lord said, go put your arm around him, love his neck, and tell him what I told you. I said, God, he's got a stick in his hand. God said, you should have done what I told you the first time. Now it's harder. I'm just telling you what the deal is. Now it's harder. I start walking toward this guy, and I'm not in a defensive mode. I'm not threatening towards anything. I'm just walking toward this guy, screaming. All of a sudden, sheer terror hits his face. I'm talking about sheer terror. Hits this guy's face. All the color drains out of his face. He drops the post and he says, and I'm trying to say to him, no, I'm not going to hurt you. And he says, don't you see him? And I said, see who? He said, your protector, an angel had appeared. Scared hell out of this guy. I mean, scared him. Now, they do that, you know. They're powerful. Angels, well, that's... I don't know about you, but I'll tell you. News for you. You're fixing to bear God. Gabriel. Every time Michael shows up, there's deeds being done. It really is true. They were, well, I don't get off, man. That's enough of that angel stuff. Well, unless they want to show up. I pointed my finger at a 71-year-old businesswoman. And I said, Miss So-and-so, you're fixing to have a divine visitation. She said, oh, really? I said, oh, really, yes. She went home that night, and an angel appeared beside her bed and began to sing, scared her so bad, she jumped up, ran in the closet, shut the door. Mr. Visitation. Is that true? That's her own testimony. Startled her so bad. Isn't that something? Well, good. Well, let's talk about this prophetic a little more. This is that. What is this? You believe the church is saying, what is this? Well, it will. Let them have a couple of meetings after these meetings. Some will be saying, what is this? So you'll need to get in the Bible and show them what this is. This is that which was prophesied would happen. Okay. Now, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit really is stirring up the gift of the prophetic. And He is releasing it in an unprecedented manner during these days. And God is causing us to be like the sons of Issachar. 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Understanding of the times. It is not a time for us to be dull and dumb and dense and thick-headed concerning the moves of God. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is part of the prophetic ministry to release knowledge and understanding to the body of Christ. God wants us to really plug in to the prophetic. One thing about the prophetic, he's called in the Old Testament a seer. Everybody say a seer. It says in 1 Samuel 9:9, before the prophets were called prophets, they were called seers. So that talks about revelatory, visionary. They would see it and say it. So that's what a prophet has to operate in. Seeing and saying. Receiving and reciting. Y'all get that? We have to recite what we receive. And so that's one reason God begins to show visions, show night dreams, show all these different things. So we'll start saying. Habakkuk 2, verse 1 and 2 says, I will stand up on my watch and set up on the tower and will watch to see what the Lord will say. I'll watch to see what the Lord will say. Do you see it? He's watching the circumstances to see what the Lord will say. Now, since y'all are living in California, do you hear a little bit about earthquakes? Now, what would God be saying with earthquakes? Could it be faulty foundation? That's what causes earthquakes? Faulty foundation. Now I'm saying to you, we need to watch to see what the Lord is saying. He's saying through these earthquakes, my church is not built on the firm foundation. The rains come, the winds blow, it shakes. But if we're built on the solid foundation, the Word of God, that rock forward, guess what? Rains come, floods come, guess what? We're still stuck. So all these earthquakes, and we're having more than ever in the history of the world, that's a sign of how unstable the foundation is. Okay, well, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. It says in Psalms 19, you need to read that, day and night God's voice speaks forth and utters, and it talks about He speaks through the storms, He speaks through the whirlwinds, He speaks through this and that and other. So we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. One of the most referred to verses, passages of Scriptures, all throughout the Scriptures, 430-something times, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." I tell you, when you know, they get all excited when E.F. Hutton speaks. We ought to get excited when God's speaking. You know, you've heard the little commercial when E.F. Hutton. Well, listen, "Thus saith the Lord." We need to start having some real prophetic utterance where we say, "This is God." And God begins to testify to that. We're in nearly every time we go to a place, well, God will send some kind of a supernatural phenomenon to testify to the fact. I went to Spokane a few months ago, and the Lord said, "Tell him I'm releasing the anointing, and there'll be a sign given, the supernatural sign. There'll be a shaking of the earth, trembling of the ground to prove it." After we left, just a few days later, a 5.5 earthquake came there, right where we're at. So they called, yeah. Now, see, God does that. Other day, not long ago, we was in London, England. I'm up there preaching in a church, and I wheel around to a guy sitting about the second row over there, and I said, "Hey!" Yeah, I said it like that in English. Scared him. I say, "What's that bloke doing?" Well, he, "Hey! Do you know that the rocks are going to melt in New Zealand?" This guy stood and his wife stood. All the color left their face. They were shaking like leaves. What I didn't know, they were two missionaries on furlough from where? New Zealand. And guess what they were? They were there to hear a word from God to see if they should go back. And I said, "The reason these rocks are going to burn in New Zealand and melt in New Zealand is going to be a sign that God is going to melt the hard hearts of those people." Guess what? They purposed in their heart to go back to New Zealand. Guess what happened? Went back to New Zealand, and sure enough, the volcano erupted. What is the lava flowing out of a volcano? Melted rock? It's a sign. You believe that? God uses signs to show what He's doing. "You shall see a star in the east." Is that right? I kind of believe so. Well, I don't know about all them signs. Well, I do. It's a sign. We need some more revelation. I like the word of the Lord, though, don't you?
Amen.
The word of the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 1:4, "The word of the Lord will be in our mouth." I like that. The word of the Lord will be in our mouth. And the word "word" is a strong Hebrew word. It's called debar. How did God make the worlds? He debarred it. He spoke it. Now it says the word of the Lord will be in the prophet's mouth. Same word for the creative word of God. It's the word that when it's spoken, it's power to produce. And there's going to come a rapid appreciation for the prophetic in America. And so you need to get some of the stuff. If you want to sign up, we send out a prophetic newsletter called NABA. That's a Hebrew word for prophetic. It's the type of prophetic we do. It's there's four or five different words in the Old Testament for prophesy. One is NABA. It means like the boiling up and belching out of a tea kettle. You put a tea kettle on, turn the burner on, and it builds up. And that's the kind of prophetic stuff we do where we pow, pow, pow. And so that's why I call our newsletter NABA. And then there's one that talks about like the gentle rain falling. It's a different kind of a prophetic. And then there's one that talks about the burden of the Lord, the masa of the Lord, that heavy burden. Jeremiah many times prophesied like that when he said, "Oh, I wish that my eyes were like the river where I could weep day and night for the gross sins of the people." And so there's different kind of... but you need to sign up for this. I don't know what it is. I think it's $10 a year. We mail out 12 of them. You can't even get them printed for that. But what it is, it's the word that God speaks to us concerning what we believe is a prophetic... moving of God, or at least some of the things we perceive that He's saying. This is the one we mailed out last month called "A Call to Confrontation." And it's talking about some of the things that we've been sharing with you about a revolution coming. So how do you get it? You just write the office and say, "Please put me on the NABA mailing list," and they'll do that. And if you ever get any stuff from us and it don't work, send it back. We'll send you another one. Yeah, really, because sometimes things weird up on the machines. Send out blank videos and they say, "Man, I didn't get nothing out of that." No wonder, nothing was on it. Yeah, but we never intend to do stuff like that. We really want to send out good stuff. This is kind of amazing, isn't it? I wonder who thought this up. Huh? God thought this up? But do you believe there's a lot of things that have not that are just waiting to be developed? I bet you whoever thought this thing up made a lot of money. Don't you? One thing somebody's going to make a lot of money on is water purification systems. It's going to be like Ford was to the car. Because water systems are polluted right now. One of the ways terrorism is going to affect will be through water pollution. And so we're going to have to learn how to have purified water. And so we need to be praying for pure water, hadn't we? Man can't live long without what? That's right. Well, good. So, and the Lord told me, He kept telling me about this, and He said, it'll be so simple, most people don't think it'll work. But He said that it will work, and so I've been saying, well, tell it to me, and I'll give it to my sons, and then they'll be billionaires. And but the Lord won't tell me. I picked the lottery one time. Really, I'm just telling you the truth of how this prophetic works. Yeah, so don't go off and lie on me until you hear the rest of the story. I come in from a meeting one time, and I'm sat down in the house. Sat down in my easy chair at the house. And I got my foot up on the ottoman like this. The TV's on. This is when Texas is first getting their lottery. You know, they're just getting into the lottery. So I've got my feet up like this. And I say to the Lord, they're fixing to pick the lottery things. And I say to the Lord, Lord, can I pick these numbers? He said, sure, go ahead. That's exactly what He said. Sure, go ahead. No restraint. Sure, go ahead. So I'm sitting there and I'm just, this is not what you do, but I was just playing with the gift. Not intentionally, but I was just, and so I said, 23, ping pong balls are rolling, down fell like 23. Whatever the next number was, we'll just say 14. I said, 14, 14, 7, 7, 6, whatever the numbers were. And I picked, I think it was 5, whatever. I picked all of them straight in a row, exactly the numbers that were coming up on the ping pong balls. When it got to the last one, the air was swirling in there, and the ball was coming down the tube, and the Lord said, don't pick this one. And then He said, don't you ever do this again. And the room went as cold as a morgue. Boy, He baited me, didn't He? I mean, listen, now when the lottery comes on, I'm going, da da, this little Mary had a little lamb, ba da da, da. You know, that's the truth, man. I'm trying everything to keep this thing from, really, holding it in, you know, I'm counting flies on the wall, it don't matter, not at all. You know, that's the truth, but that really scared me, man. I've had people try to pay me, said, would you pick the lottery for me? I'll give you, I said, no way, Jose, that's not, I'm not Balaam, you know. Remember Balaam was a guy that they could buy to prophesy? Well, good. You believe that the Lord will do you that way? He tricked me. I told Him the other day, I don't like it when you trick me. And He said to me, Jeremiah didn't either. Remember when Jeremiah said to the Lord, you tricked me. Yeah, and really He did. God does that, you know. In the Song of Solomon, you remember when the Lord hid from the bride? He hid from the bride behind the lattice to see if she would search for Him. That's a book you ought to study, Song of Solomon. The Lord came to him the other day and He said, Bobby, I want you to study Song of Solomon. I said to the Lord, I don't get nothing out of that book. Now, isn't that stupid? That's stupid for the Lord to say, study Song of Solomon, and then to say to Him, I don't get anything out of that book. Now, the Lord talks to me like this. He said, you don't know much about kissing, do you, boy? That's what He said, boy. Really, God don't talk King James. Really, He doesn't. And so I was in this discourse about Song of Solomon. He said, you don't know much about kissing, do you, boy? See, Song of Solomon chapter 1 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Song of Solomon 2:16 said, his mouth is altogether lovely. So I said, now when God asks you a question, guess who's looking for information? Guess who the pupil is when God asks you a question? It ain't God. God asked me, you don't know much about kissing, do you, boy? So I say to God, no, sir. So He said, let me school you. First, if you're going to mouth kiss, you have to be close. Second, if you're going to mouth kiss, you have to be face to face. Third, mouth kissing is most stimulus before intimacy. Do you see what I'm saying? Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Do you see that? The Lord's trying to get us close to Him. Trying to get His bride face to face with Him. And He's trying to stimulate us to have passion for Him. See, that's what all that Song of Solomon is about. It's a lovely book. It's a great book, man. Whew, it is a great book. You need to read it. It's where we are now, the Lord trying to stir our hearts to have love for Him. And it's in a symbolic language. We're the bride, He's the bridegroom. Startling. It says, we're so beautiful in His eyes, the way we're going to become, that one look of us ravishes His heart. Isn't that wild? Well, good. I have an idea that the Lord looks over the banister of heaven and the Lord says, no thanks. The way we are right now, the bride. See, the bride He's going to come get is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You think that describes the church today? I don't think so. I think the Lord says, not quite ready yet, Dad. Thanks. Don't you believe that? I think so. Well, good. Let me have some water, Carolyn. You got any water in your purse? This is my wife, Carolyn. Isn't she sweet? She's a wonderful girl. She's a great girl. Where we go this week? Austin. Austin is the capital of Texas, and so something's up about that. Mm-hmm. Called Rockdale. That's strange, isn't it? Sure, like your boys, God's going to put a real wonderful anointing on them. And I'm real serious. All this week He's been talking to me about you guys. You don't have to be like anybody else. Just be who you are. Lord really told me, said, you're perfectly okay. You know, just be who you are. And so that's good. Preacher's kids have a tough time, but you better leave them alone. Just to be honest. Better watch out. Well, good. Have you learned anything about the prophetic? We got one other section of prophetic tapes here. You need to get this. This one talks about the prophetic. We do a lot of prophetic conferences. Matter of fact, we do 10 of them a year at our church. We have guys in like, any of you ever heard of Larry Randolph? He's from a California guy. He does a lot with the Vineyard, so he's not much of a, hadn't been much in the Baptist realm. Well, the Baptist hadn't been much for anybody for prophetic. You know, just to be quite honest. You know. So I don't know if you know anybody that we're talking about, but you need to get this. This will be good. Did you get one of these? Did you get one? You want one? You can have it, man. It kind of goes through a lot more stuff than what we've done tonight. We just kind of talked a little bit. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? Come here just a second. I want to mess with you a minute. Kind of a quiet guy. I want to hug you. Is that okay? Been watching you over there just quietly strumming. But you really have a heart that's been seeking after the Lord. And He's going to do something for you. You believe that? I do too. And I just want to hug you. Is that okay?
It's okay.
Okay, just give me a hug. It won't hurt us. Feels good, doesn't it?
Not particularly.
It does to me. You feel real warm. He feels exceptionally warm to me. He feels just as warm and cuddly. I don't feel any stiffness. Sometimes you can get around people and they put barriers up like that. But I didn't feel that. It felt good to me. It really felt good and warm. Sometimes I get around people, I can feel a spirit of death, you know, and it's cold. It's real icy. The building could be hot, but you can feel a real cold thing here. But I don't feel that about you, and I think that's your spirit. I think that you're real warm and open. I think you're real quiet, but I think the Lord's really got something deep going in you. And it's going to be okay, isn't it? He really is going to do that. Have you thought about going to college again? Have you know anything about that? Have you been messing with college anyway? I saw...
That's a long time.
I saw thoughts of college. So you hadn't been looking at college forms or anything like that? Have you been looking at college forms or anything?
Daughters.
Oh, daughters forms. See, that's what we're picking up on. I saw where you was looking at college forms, like we're making the entrances and stuff like that. So I bet you know, that's been kind of something going on in your spirit that was picking up on that. See, you believe that? That's pretty neat, isn't it? I like that. Well, the Lord said to tell you He's going to take care of it. Matter of fact, I said something to you about scholarship, didn't I? Isn't that something? That's kind of nuts, isn't it? But you see, really, I just was messing with her hair last night, and I said something about scholarship. So I think the Lord's trying to say something to you. You won't have to worry about this. God's going to handle it. So I don't know how, but I believe there may be some kind of scholarship involved. So that's pretty good. Give me five. God bless you. Y'all know Mark Farner? Y'all ever heard of him? Grand Funk Railroad guy? Need to have him. He's a good Christian guy, a great witness, got hair down to long hair. Boy, sings. He's a lead singer of the Grand Funk. Great witness. And so Need to have him here. That would scare the rest of the religious spirits. Because he's real wild. He plays real loud guitar. When I slapped his hands, I felt that kind of a passion inside of him. Okay, well, let's see about the prophetic. You know, a lot of times people think if I don't look at him, he won't have anything. But see, we've already looked at you, and most of the time this happens in a second, you know, and God tells what he's going to do. And so I do want to tell a little bit more about this area, this West Coast area, about the healing things. And I asked the Lord, I said, how come in the 50s there was such a major emphasis on healing? And he said, because people believed more in healing then than they did miracle drugs. And then they begin to think about miracle drugs and forget the miracle worker. But guess what's happening now? Our belief in miracle drugs is coming to an all-time low. Why? They're not working. So guess what's fixing to happen? Our faith in the Master is going to come back up. And we're having documented healings of AIDS. Isn't that neat? And so are a lot of other people moving in power. Matter of fact, that is going to be one of the testimonies in the end time church, is the dead will be raised. People who have these death-causing plagues will be healed. And they'll be healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing, the Lord's really going to stop any evil reign from a guru that's trying to come over here, the Dalai Lama deal, and he wants to come water some seeds that were left around Oregon up here, and the Lord's going to stop that evil harvest before it can come. So Dalai Lama, just pack your stuff and get out. There's no welcome for you. There's no place here in this arena for you. Y'all understand that in the spirit realm? Y'all understand that? Now, he wanted to come, and he wanted to put some water on some seed that had laid dormant. But God is going to stop the harvest before it comes. And so it's okay. That's really good. So we're doing this. We're saying this in the spirit realm so it comes to pass. Isn't that neat? You say, oh no, they have their right to believe like they want to. Well, I have my right to believe like I want to. And I believe they're full of the devil, and I know I'm full of God. So we have power to bring judgment upon that. Correct? That's really right. And so it'll be some signs given about that. One sign that will be given about that is water raging. So there's going to be some raging water. I don't know if it's a natural flood or some kind of a high-rise water deal out in the ocean. But one of the testimonies God's fixing to give to this will be, I saw raging water. Now, God used us to predict the flood that came. We prophesied openly and publicly. Water would be 12 feet deep in houses, and there'd be a drought in the same region. And it's absolutely come to pass. Water on one of the magazines, Newsweek or Time or one of those, had the photograph, water 12 foot deep in houses, and a farmer plowing up his crops in the same region, fulfilling the prophecy that was uttered. Is that correct, Carolyn? Well, so there'll be water raging, proving that the Dalai Lama has no place here. Amen? Dalai Lama. Yes. Okay. Well, hello, Dalai. Dalai Lama. Those people seem so passive and so serene, but they actually are espousing death. It's really right. I eat a bunch of cashews. Now, what is them things you get on the airplane? Pistachios. They make them here, don't they? You know, California. We don't have pistachios in Bullard. I don't guess you can buy them at the store, but I wonder how they grow them. Do y'all know? Do you know, lady? Do you know anything about how they grow them? In a tree? Yeah. I like to go places and see how they grow things. We were in one island one time and they were pouring pineapple juice on the dirt. They had pineapple everywhere. That was neat. Well, let's see what the Lord will do, okay? I think the Lord wants to touch this guy. You got a plaid shirt on and my finger's pointing right at you right on the end. Oh, come stand right down here and let's see if the Lord will talk to you and touch you and put some anointing on you. Yeah, I really believe the Lord wants to touch you. I really saw a hunger. Go ahead and lift your hands and ask the Lord to really visit with you and touch you, because He's going to do that. You had some real serious talks with Him, and He took it serious. And you talked. He brought you up to a line about the power and said, "Are you willing to cross this line?" And you said, "At all costs." And He said that talk to you a little bit. Is this correct? It is correct. He's saying, yes, yes. So he's going to touch you. One of the signs he'll touch you is there's going to be incredible heat coming in the palms of your hands. And that's going to be a sign from the Lord to you that he is actually doing that. We've been seeing oil flow out of people's hands, not just a little sweaty palm. I'm talking about oil flowing. And many times it's caught on television footage. But you're going to have a heat, a wonderful warm heat in your hands. And it's going to be a testimony to you. And so I just release the power of God inside of you, and I release the fullness of the Spirit of God to feed the hunger that's in you. And I say to you that it is like Matthew 5:6, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And so that's the question, shall I be filled? The answer is, you shall be filled. So Lord, release your power for this brother. Use him, Lord, in a wonderful way during the days. As my friend Bob Jones would say, I feel the wind on that. I feel angelic power up here, a wind coming to testify to that. So Lord, bless this man. Show him what it's all about. The Lord's checking off his checklist. He's got a little checklist in his mind. And the Lord's just fixing all those things for him. And so everything will add up exactly like God has for him. And it's going to be really good. And I can feel the power on his hands right now. We'll get a volunteer. Come here, this guy right here. Yeah. 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 Okay. Now, I'll just stand up here. This is okay. If you don't mind, would you just turn, y'all can face one another like this, and would you touch his hands? Yeah. 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 No, she didn't say nothing.
Yesterday.
Hey, if you will, just put your hands on his and release the power of God. I felt the real power of God coming into this part of his hands. So, and I want you just to say, Lord, I release the power. Yeah. Now you said to him, Lord, I release the power in Jesus' name. That's... Yeah, there is real power flowing from this guy into this one right now. And yes. Yeah. He's going to get drunk, but it'll be okay. You want to be okay? Yeah, yeah. Russell, you come and get behind him like we're making a little train. Just come and get him behind. Just kind of put your hands right here on him. It's okay. Just put your hands here on him. We're just going to make a little soul train here, you know. A little train. It's going to be okay. Yeah, yeah. That's good. Yes. Really? This is where your reins are. This is where the anointing is. The reins. And so there's more, Lord. Point y'all's finger toward him and say, more, Lord. More, Lord. Yeah. More, Lord. Smack old Russell, Lord. Russell's a wild guy. He's a conservative guy, but he's wild. He's wild. More, Lord. Tell him more, Lord. I want him to turn the burner up, don't you? That's right. Talking about turning the burner up. Look how hot he is. See the sweat on him? Can you see that? Okay, let's see if this... Russell, is there anybody else you want to come join up in this train? Can you just tell me who you want to come get in this train?
John?
Yeah. Come on, John. Come on, John. Hobbling out. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Now. Okay. Miss Church Secretary, come here. Come here. Come on. Grab a hold of her. Come on here. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. We'll let you get right in here, and you can... Now then. Uh-huh. Woo-hoo. It's the little train that thought they could. You remember that? Okay. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. And here you are supposed to be sophisticated. And look at you. Yeah, in this train. The little train that thought they could. Okay.
See if Marcia's husband Ed might get in.
Ed, where's Ed?
Hey, Ed.
Ed. They're calling for Ed. 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 Is Ed around?
No.
No? Come on down, Ed. All right. Okay. Wow. Now, do you believe there's an anointing on these guys? Do you want to feel that? You want to feel that? Come on. It hurts, doesn't it? It's kind of like a little cramp, but it's okay.
But it feels good.
Okay. Well, we won't pick on Mary right now. Well, we could, though. Come here, Mary. She's a nice, quiet. Mary's a nice, quiet girl. She's a nice, quiet girl. Have you ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost?
Sort of.
Well, just kind of hang on to this train here. Y'all just hang on to the train. More, Lord. The little train. The little train. Now, y'all turn around this way now. Now, you can turn around and put your hands right here. And y'all just kind of chug through here. Just kind of chugging. Just chug. Chug through here. Chug. Just chug through here. Come on, you can come and get right behind there. Now then. All aboard. That's one of the ways the Lord called me into this. He came to him and he said, all aboard. And he said, the train is leaving out. Yeah. Y'all just keep going. It's okay. They marched around 7 times. But they won't have to take 7 trips. Okay. Just looking around. Tell them, say, more, Lord. More, Lord. You two guys are going to be glad you're here. These two girls right here, they're going to be glad they're in this room tonight. So that's going to be good. That's good. See some... Yeah. Yeah. Caliente. That's hot. Caliente, caliente. Okay. Yeah. Look at them. Okay. Just jump on this train if you want to. Make another circle. It's okay. Just jump in. Yeah. Just go ahead and just jump in. Yeah. Okay. That's right. Yeah. All right. I remember old Bob. Come here, Bob. Yeah. That's all right. Bob, what do you think's happening to them? That's right. And you're a Baptist deacon, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, did you ever think you would see something like this happening in a Baptist church?
I'm glad I did.
He said, I'm glad I did.
I'm glad I did.
Baptist deacon. Isn't that amazing? And not only are you going to see it, you're going to be a part of it.
Praise the Lord.
You're going to be a real catalyst for this.
I hope so.
I'm sure of it, Bob. I'm sure of it. Can I see your pen a minute? Is this okay?
Sure.
I just want to mess with this pen a minute. Do you believe anointing's going to get in this pen to share some things? And you'll write down some stuff?
I believe that.
That's good. I'll put it back here in your pocket. Yeah. Yeah. Listen at them. They're the little happy train that could. Yeah. 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 Here, you're fixing that. You're fixing to get wasted. Somebody come help Bob. Get this guy here. Come here and help old Bob. Punch this guy. Come here. Come stand behind old Bob. Bob's going to get a real wagon load. He's going to be drunk for a good while.
Yeah?
Yeah, and so he'll need some help. Here, Bob, you can have this. I release the power of the Holy Ghost on you. Lord, make him radical. Radical, Lord. Yes. Yes. Help! Help! Yeah. This is some army. Help! Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah, kind of like that. All right. Are you okay? Did you see what happened to Bob?
I did.
It could be a dog pile. You know, Holy Ghost dog pile. Y'all ever done that in school?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's okay. Y'all won't hurt Bob. He's loaded. You can't hurt a drunk. Yeah. 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 Well, it's going to be okay. You all right?
Yeah.
An articulate woman. Intelligent woman. Yeah. Oh, going to be a drunk woman. Oh, a drunk woman. She's going to be a drunk woman, but she'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at your hands. You see how red they are? That's power. That really is power. Yeah. Yeah. And you really have a servant's heart, too. That's good. Say more, Lord.
More, Lord.
More, Lord.
More, Lord.
Moss. Is that right? Moss? Is that? Moss. Moss. Yeah, more. Spanish. Yeah. Bilingual like I am. Taco, burrito. Yeah, that's good. You're going to really get anointing, Lord. Release this for her in greater abundance than she's ever anticipated, Lord. More and more and more. More and more. Real power on her hands now. Yeah, that's really right. Do you want to share this with somebody? I feel a sticky, wonderful power here. Who do you want to share it with? You got anybody here that you really feel like they need a whacking? Yeah. Looks like I think your number's up. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I felt a wonderful sticky bomb kind of thing, like for healing. Really. And that's pretty good. And you got wasted last night in a wonderful kind of way. How did it feel?
It was great.
Yeah. And so you wake up not guilty?
Right. Yeah. He healed me. He cleansed me.
I know. Wasn't it good?
It was great.
Way down on the inside, that laughter to roll. Isn't that fun? See, and that's not normally how you'd act.
No.
But see, we get drunk and we act different ways, don't we? Do you believe that's going to come more? Do you believe after you get drunk once, you don't have to drink very much to get back where you were?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Now, none of y'all ever drank, but that is true. Yeah, they're lying, but... It's going to be okay. Say more, Lord.
More, Lord.
Yeah, you're going. You like this prophetic stuff, too.
I like it.
Can I touch your head? Is that okay? Yeah, I'll put my head against your head. You're going to receive prophetic stuff.
Oh,
she really does,
Lord.
Have that prophetic thing to her. Here, you can have this. It's pretty neat. Just, well, he knocked her out. No, it was a headbutt. It's okay. You all right? Yeah? Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're going to be wonderfully drunk, too, dear girl.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Some more, Lord. More, Lord. Say more, Lord.
More, Lord.
Yeah.
More, Lord.
More, Lord.
More, Lord.
Yeah, more, Lord. Oh, you're precious. Lord really loves her. You're at the right place.
More, Lord.
Yeah.
More, Lord.
She'll be drunk. Really drunk. She really will get caught up in some stuff that you... Come on, Mamie. You want to walk around with me a minute? Yeah. This is Mamie. Huh? Well, do you see anybody you want to mess with, Mimi?
I've been messing with them.
All right. I like this old big boy back here. See him? He's got that muscle shirt looking thing. Come here. See, yeah. No, you got a kind of muscle shirt on. Got, yeah, right there. Come on. Yeah. Jim. Did you meet Bob?
Yes, I saw Bob.
Bob's a guy's going to do something with his pen in his pocket. Yeah, look here. That's good. That's right. See, the first thing I told him, I was going to wrestle him. You remember when you said something about wrestling just then? I said, I think I have to manage to wrestle you, but we're not going to have to wrestle you. You've surrendered. Did you know the only time you win with the Lord is when you throw the towel in? That's the strangest thing. Jacob wrestled with the Lord, tried to turn loose of him all night. When it got daylight and he saw out who it was, he didn't want to. Y'all understand that?
He had a conversation about that last night.
He had a conversation about that last night, he said.
Yeah, this guy back here.
Isn't that something? See, the very thing he was trying to turn loose of all night when he got light, when revelation came, prophetic input came, he saw who it was, and then he wouldn't turn him loose. Isn't that something? Yeah, and so we're picking up on what he talked about. Y'all see that? Isn't that neat? God's going to use you. Get ready for ministry. Get ready for ministry. He's going to gift you. He's going to gift you. And you'll be with children and youth, and it's going to be a good thing. And I told you he'll be a faithful kind of guy, no nonsense kind of deal. And it's going to be okay. You're hard-headed. He's a hard-headed person. He really is stubborn and hard-headed, but once you get it in, it's going to be okay. And you'll need that to do what you're going to do. But you're going to be all right. God really has His hand on you. I'm real serious about that. He really has His hand on you because you made those comments to Him, and He took it serious, and He really loves this guy. Yeah, he really does. Turn around here and let's look at these guys. Look at him. I see another guy with the muscle shirt on. You think we can handle him, that big guy back there?
I'm not sure about that.
Pretty good sized guy.
Yeah,
I see. Let me tell you about one time we was in a meeting and a guy came and anointing fell on me and I started kicking as high as my head, spinning around and kicking. I was nuts. Come to find out he was a heavyweight, full contact karate champion. And he came into the meeting. And the Spirit of God fell on me. And I was agile. And I could pick my leg up and kick as high as his head and spin around. And it captured him. It captured him. He said, "Who do you train?" I said, "Train? I don't train." But see, it was the Lord. It was the anointing on me doing that. And boy, this guy fell over. And man, he was addicted to the anointing from that moment on. World heavyweight, full contact karate champion. Been to Bullard a couple of times. Well, isn't that something? So, watch out. Anointing get on me, I can kick as high as your head. Anointing ain't on me, can't get my foot up past the sofa hardly, you know. That's going to be okay. What do you think God's going to do with you?
I'm not sure.
Are you willing to be used with youth and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've given up for that.
I want you to tell Rodney, say, I'll be willing to serve anyhow.
I'll be willing to serve anyhow.
Okay. Do you hear that?
I'll be willing to put my fears aside.
That's right. That's really right. That's the kind God's going to use. He's not afraid of doing something. He's afraid of doing it wrong. Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
But it's really going to be okay. And God's going to erase all those fears. It's going to be okay. Isn't that neat?
Thank you.
God's going to use him too. Yeah, God bless you, man. I like this guy. I like him. He's good. Isn't that something? Just because you're going to have to pray for him from now on. God's going to call you to intercede for him. God says, don't sin against him by not praying for him. And so you guys are going to be called to pray for him. Do you remember he said, God forbid that I would sin against you by not praying for you? Well, girls, come here just a second. I believe y'all are in the right place at the right time. Yeah, y'all too. It's going to be okay. Come on, it's okay, isn't it? Y'all believe it's okay? It's all right, isn't it? It's going to be okay. Got a pin in your nose. Did that hurt? I bet it did. Got one in your tongue? You got one? Don't have one in your tongue?
Candy.
Okay. A lot of times they, you know, sometimes the Lord kicks in and we see all kind of stuff they've got on them, you know, that's hid, and the Lord will tell them some little things they've got hid, so they'll know it's a prophetic. Really, it happened one time I saw a Tweety Bird tattooed on somebody somewhere that you couldn't see. And then they instantly knew it was the Lord. You understand that?
Yeah.
Because she didn't believe. She thought it was all a bunch of hooey hooey. And I said, well, the Lord will prove himself to you if you listen. And she had a little secret Tweety Bird, you know. Isn't that neat? So I like that. I just was looking at this. Did these hurt up here? Didn't hurt? A little. Yeah, it does. Whether you get. Down here doesn't hurt very much, but boy, up there. You got any on you? Just a couple. Yeah, really, the Lord told me to tell you girls, y'all in the right place tonight. God's going to do something for you. And so that's good. When he does something for us, it is good. Are you afraid of me?
No.
Not really. You're not, are you? You trust me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you trust me? Yeah. Well, I'm a trustworthy guy, really. Really, you can trust me. The Lord's going to do something for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to encircle around about you with a host from heaven and keep you, keep the wicked one from touching you. It's going to be good. And really, you're going to just absolutely find it easy to fall in love with Jesus, the real Jesus. It's going to be absolutely easy because you said, if you're really there, prove yourself. That's, you know, we had that little conversation. Mm-hmm. And so he's really going to prove himself. And he's going to come. And I'll tell you this, he's going to prove himself to you, and there's going to come a light in your room where you lay down, and it'll be from the Lord, and he's going to talk to you and prove some things, take all the fear away in your heart. And being you is okay. You understand that? That's been the big question. Who am I? What am I going to do? And so it's going to be okay. Can I touch you?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be okay. You're real sweet. I'll tell you that. And the Lord really has his hand extended towards you. Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
That's really sweet, isn't it? You're exactly who he made you to be, and he loves you just like you are. So he's going to show himself to you and settle that once and for all. And he is real, and he's going to use you. And you have something in you. When you see people, real hurting people, it hurts you. And God's going to use you in this ministry of helping people that are hurt, especially those that are wondering which way life went and all that kind of junk. Well, you're precious. And here's the power of the Lord. You believe that? Isn't this fun? I mean, listen, this is flat dab fun. More happened here than ever happened with counseling. Listen, God, I'm telling you, a lot of counselors come for this. I'm telling you, the big wig counselors come and say, listen, we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what's fixing to get on you, girl. Mm-hmm. The power of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord loves you.
He wants you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's jealous over her. Mm-hmm. He's going to station angels around her. Mm-hmm. Tell me your first name. I won't have to call you.
Amy.
Amy. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. Lord bless Amy. I break every spoken word curse off of her life in Jesus' name. We claim her for the kingdom of God and the kingdom purposes. And I bless her, Lord Jesus. Let your anointing rest upon her life all the days of her life. And use this girl in a mighty way. Make the kingdoms of darkness shake in Jesus' name. Use her as a warrior and a winner in Jesus' name. Yeah, you feel that?
I do.
Yeah. The Lord came rushing through here and he's, you know, he cleans everything up. Everything's all right. You understand that? He is a refiner and it's wonderful. Yeah. Aren't you glad? So you say, oh, well, he does. But it's good. And it's legal. It's that's what's so neat. It's okay, isn't it? What do you think? What do you think we told? You think it's okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do too. I think it's all right. Can I touch your head around your eyes? He's going to do something for you. He's really going to do something for you. Lord, bless her, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless her. We take the scales away from her eyes so she can see the things of God, the things of the kingdom in Jesus' name. You're a gifted person. God has some gifts in you. Enemy's been trying to sidetrack them, push them that way and the other way. But God said he put the gifts in you, and they're from him and for him. And you're going to be a creative kind of person. And so you're going to enjoy that. And the church is about to start receiving real creative people. Oh, yeah, boy, it's really the Lord. Do you feel that? Feels like we're flying. Did you feel that? Felt like we were up and just floating around like this. I like that, man. Made me dizzy, real dizzy there for a minute. But she's got real creativity in her, and most of the time the church won't do anything with that, so the world eats them up. But she has a real creativity in you that God put in there, and he's going to use those things. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you don't write songs or sing songs, and that'll be okay. Yeah, mash your fingers? No. Just say, yeah, I see that. Yeah, there's the anointing on her. Mary, come here. I want you to look this just a second. I want you to look on her neck. Her neck was not red like this too. And people say, oh, no, it's just nerves. No, we've done many demonstrations like this. Can you see this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lord resting on you and his purity is coming on you. And the enemy is not going to eat you up. He's not going to devour the gifts that's in you. Isn't that neat? Did you have fun?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all came to the right place, didn't you?
Yeah,
it's fun. Yo, that's good. What do you do?
I'm a waitress.
A waitress? That's wonderful. Many times we have tremendous words for waitresses, honestly. I mean, in those places like that, an anointing shows up. People fall. We talked about it. People, sometimes the waitresses fall right in the place with the trays. Clah! You know, God knows me. It's neat. See, this stuff works out there better than it does in here. Y'all understand that? The prophetic and stuff? Well, God bless you. Here, I'm going to release an anointing on you. You ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost? Kind of. Well, yeah. Well, you can have it. It's going to be okay. It's like the other, only this is real and it's good and no hangover. Ooh, that was fun. Do you feel that? Just self. Isn't that neat? You can lay down there or sit down there by her if you want to, and put your hand down there. Just sack out by her. It's okay. Well, that was fun. Did you feel that? I felt the Lord really ministering to them. Isn't that? I see the word precious written across this lady right there. I see it across your chest. The Lord says to tell you His diagnosis of you is precious. He's tired of you trying to diagnose yourself. And so He says to tell you, precious. I saw the word precious written across your chest. So that's what He thinks about you. And I'm sure He's done something in your side. And it'll manifest all the way around in the back. But He's doing it in your side. Isn't God good? He's good. Isn't that fun? He's fun. I'm telling you, God is fun too. Really fun. Kind of like this guy with the beard. He's a kind of quiet guy. But God's going to slap you around, buddy. gonna just slap you around a good way. You believe that? Yeah, that's right. he'll help you while the Lord's on the way. Just kind of rough him up a little bit. Let's see. Do you know, a lot of people, they think you hold their arteries and make them fall out and all that kind of junk. Isn't that crazy? You know, it's just the Lord knocks them over. Come here, I want to pray for this lady right here. You okay?
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I think so.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Come up here a little closer. God said that when you go to bed, the sleep will be good. No more nightmares. No more nightmares. No more fear in the night. Isn't that neat? That's better than doctors can do right there. God said He'll lay her down and her sleep will be sweet from this night on. No more night terrors. No more of that. Isn't that neat? And that's good. That is really good. And that's good. Aren't you glad of that? Are you glad of that? Mm-hmm. I am too. I'm glad of that. Yeah. No more night terrors. You can jump on that word if you want to. Anybody that's had real trouble with sleep and you're having problems with insomnia and problems with night terrors and stuff like that, the Lord will break that off of you. Anybody want that? Want it broken off? Man, claim it. Claim it. No word is any private interpretation. When God gives one, jump in on it. You understand that? Well, that's good. You're going to have some visitations from the Lord at night too. And that's going to be good. So that'll be good. You've been asking about some of those things. Well, Lord, what about me? Everybody does this and that, but it's going to be okay. It really is going to be okay. He really is listening to what your heart says. Yeah, here, you can have this, dear girl. It's fun. Here. Yeah. Because that's where God's dealing with her mainly, right in the head, you know, because she's been trying to figure it out. Can Carolyn give you a hug? It really is okay. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, bless her heart. Yeah, she's sweet. She said, oh, no, they really do know about me. But that's good. How many of you want this thing broken off about night sleep, not sleeping right at night? If you'll stand up, I'd really want to pray for you because the Lord will do it. And He'll give you a good night's sleep. You won't have to be medicated. There won't have to be these insomnia deals where you get up and you're wore out. So I believe the Lord's going to do that. And then also I believe some people are suffering from a kind of a stress deal where you sleep, but when you get up, you're as tired as you were when you went to bed. There's this supernatural, abnormal fatigue, and God is going to break that. So if that's happening to you, it's not just something in the weather. It is something that God wants to break off from you. So Father, in Jesus' name, these that are standing, I take authority and dominion over night terrors. I break their power off of these people in Jesus' name. I hold your word to you, Father. You said you'll lay your servants down. Their sleep will be sweet. We speak that to these people in Jesus' name. Rest upon them, Lord. Send your angels to encamp around about them. You said you'd cause us to lay down in green pastures. We thank you for tranquility and true peace that will come upon their lives now in Jesus' name. Well, that's good. That's really good. You're going to testify to the fact, hey, I slept good. And that's really good. That's good. I like this girl. She's getting some stuff. Some stuff from the Lord. That was good, girls. I enjoyed that. That was fun. Well, good. Let's kind of take a look through. What's wrong with you?
Well, I have an imbalance. I have Kitchener and osteoporosis.
What is that osteoporosis? Honestly,
in the hips.
In the hip.
In the lower spine. The lower spine, and it's given me a lot of trouble.
It's bones coming degenerate.
I am a born again Christian. And I love the Lord.
I believe that. I believe that.
I'm working with Him. I do everything I can. And He's given me so many blessings.
Good.
It's amazing. I don't know. and the Holy Spirit has been with me all the time.
Isn't that neat?
I don't have to worry about fading or anything like that because I am strong.
Strong in the Lord. Well, that's good. We see the Lord heal a lot of people. That's one of the things that I got healed from. I had a pickup wreck. This is one of the ways I got in the supernatural. I had a pickup wreck and broke two bones in my neck and this arm was swiveling up. They put me in the hospital. It was going to cut my throat, pull the bone back and chip a bone off my spine. And the Lord said, why don't you ask me to heal you? I said, Lord, I don't know how I feel about that. He said, it's better than surgery. So I checked out of the hospital, went back to our church, and I told the deacons, I said, I don't know how y'all feel about this. I'm not sure how I feel about it. But the Lord said, if you'd anoint me with oil, he'd heal me. A lady raised her hand and said, I got some bath oil out in the car. I said, go get it. I don't care if it's Penn's oil, olive oil, or whatever. She went and got it, and the Lord healed me. The guys came out. I kneeled down. And the Lord healed me. That was our initiation into supernatural healing ministry.
Well, that's wonderful.
So if he healed me, he can heal that.
He can heal me too.
That's right. Tell me your first name.
I'm Maisie, and I'm.
You're what?
Maisie. And I am
Maisie.
89 years old.
89 years old. One thing I found out: old people and kids will tell you the truth. Do you believe that?
I go to the Western Hospital and do a Bible study. Saturday.
Isn't that something? 89 years old and goes to a nursing home and teaches the Bible.
I go to Golden Ages and I send all the good cards out to the people.
That's good. That's good.
And it's a wonderful ministry. The Lord has given me the blessings.
Well, isn't that something? You're a real sight.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, good.
They all know me here.
They know you.
I'm not kidding.
They know you're telling the truth. She's telling the truth, ain't she? She's your friend.
I'm going to lay hands on you too.
That's right. I believe that. Both of y'all ought to get drunk. No telling what y'all do. Probably party all night.
Yeah.
Believe that? Wouldn't that be something? They got all zonked out in the Holy Ghost and partied all night.
Amen, Jesus.
Laws come in, so you got to shut that noise down.
Amen, yeah. Jesus.
Quit swinging that walker around like that. Listen, isn't that something? Yeah. I really do feel the Lord. Lord, bless this couple. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this generation, Lord. Bless them. And I pray for real healing for Macy. Lord, just heal every bone in her. Make her bones strong. Lord, take away all the diagnostic reports. Touch her hip and the nerves, Lord Jesus. Make her strong and well for your glory, Jesus. I thank you that her heart is to serve you with all of her heart. In Jesus' name. Yeah, just use her. Yeah, isn't that neat? Yeah. Isn't that something? 89 years old. 89. 89 years old. I like that. Don't you like that? You're, and this is a Baptist pastor. Come here. Come here. This is a Baptist pastor. Come on up here, preacher. Isn't this something? Who does he remind me of, Carolyn? You know, this is the guy I was talking about. Meeks, you remember a guy named Larry Meeks? You remember that guy? That's who it is. You remember that used to travel around and sing with us 100 years ago. Well, isn't that something? You're on a journey, man. Yeah. And he says you are a journey, man. You know, you're learning at his feet. It's an apprentice thing. It really is something. God's going to use you. Going to use you. You're going to have a good time. You're after this thing.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that neat? He's after the anointing. Isn't that something? Yeah. Let's see. Now, let's see if I can. I don't even know if I brought my hanky or not, but I needed to give him something. Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. This really works. This is a cert, and it's been on our body. You know, it's been in my pocket. Now, this really is the anointing. Now, spirit is called breath, and this is a breath mint. This is peppermint, and peppermint is a type of cinnamon. Cinnamon is a type of what was used in the anointing oil that God told Moses to make. You understand that? And so this is going to be a sign to you, man. And I gave you one of these at lunch.
Yeah.
But God, this is going to be a sign. There's real anointing this time. And it's going to cause His breath to be sweet. Now, I'm talking about the sweetness of the Spirit. Nothing is more sweet than the Spirit of God. And so God's going to use you. You're going to have a real encounter with the Holy Ghost. I mean, a real encounter.
Amen.
I'm sure of this. I'm sure of this. You wouldn't be in this building if you wouldn't. You're divinely sent here. And you're ready for the shaking. You know, you're not. You didn't enter this thing just gullible. You're ready for whatever God's up to. Well, I want to give you this, man. And really, I want you to have this. You want this?
Sure.
Lord, that's right. That's exactly right. Lord, I thank you for this. Now, I think you're going to have a tremendous ministry with the Catholics. I think this... Yeah, this is a sign. This is a sign about that. It really is a sign about that.
It's true.
It really is a sign. It is a sign. And it says, these are made in Italy. They're certs, but they're manufactured out of the United States. And the Lord said, when I put this in his hand, the Lord said, I'm going to cause him to have favor with the Catholics. Mm-hmm. And isn't that something?
This is
Joel, God pouring his spirit out on all flesh, a Baptist ministering to the Catholics.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a great hunger, and these guys are going to want the supernatural. The Catholics are. And God's going to use you, man. I don't know how to tell you this, but if you'll put this in your mouth, God is fixing to do something for you, man. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he loves it too. He loves the supernatural. Well, I've released this on him. Prophetic supernatural unction to function, Lord. Yeah. Wow. Make him wild in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Yeah. That's right. Wild in the Holy Ghost. His deacon's over here. I'm like, he's all the wild. Well, get over here behind him, Deke. Here. Yeah. Yes. Just. His blood wasn't quite quick enough, but he's got him. Catch him, Bob. Isn't that good? Y'all are going to team up. It's going to take a networking. So y'all will be first of a networking of the churches that's going to hold the harvest. And these two are going to network. Y'all are starting networking together to hold the harvest that's coming. So isn't that good? Now I want to tell you something. There really is coming up. Now I'm going to visit with you just a moment. We need to start reaching out to the blacks because God is fixing to put an awesome anointing on them. And God is fixing it, really. So we need to do that. We need to start embracing, really. That's one of the barriers God is bringing down is this racism junk. And so I want y'all to start doing that. That'll really kick some things in this thing. Really, because I was that is where one of the treasures is in this region right here. And so it'll stop a lot of the gang junk. And,
you know just, all about these churches that we've been referring to all along the wall there? Have you heard
no, ma'am.
That?
No, ma'am.
These are all different kinds of churches.
Isn't that good?
And their contact is from the pastor and the pastor to other pastors. And
networking. Isn't that something?
A rewarding, repleting, and return. And we sing that song, Breaking Down the Walls.
I felt the anointing. I felt the anointing when they were singing that.
Yeah, Breaking Down the Walls.
Yeah. The Lord said He spared your life. The Lord said He spared your life. And He wants to use your life because you'll have to interpret to Him and speak to Him. Anybody, do you speak English? Yeah. The Lord says to tell you He's spared your life and He's going to use your life. You understand that? Come here just a second. Come here. I won't mess with you. Ah, yeah. tell me your name.
Aldo.
Aldo? Yeah. Aldo, that's like stop, isn't it?
Aldo.
Oh, D. D. Well, Aldo. That's right. But Aldo means stop in Spanish. Is that right? Alto, alto, alto. It's going to be okay. The Lord said He spared your life. He spared your life. He's going to show Himself to you and use you. Can I pray over your head? Is that okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank You for the purposes of God. I break every spoken word curse off of this man in Jesus' name. We break his power in Jesus' name. God said He's going to put favor on you. He's going to cause you to succeed where people have thought you would fail. And He said, I'm going to show myself good and strong to you. And so, Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. Yeah. Yeah. More, Lord. Boy, His presence is here for you. And He's going to show Himself good to you. You believe that? I do too. It really is good. Yeah, you know, because somebody said, well, you'll never amount to anything, but that's a lie. That's a lie. He's created for the very purposes of God. And so God's going to use him, going to tune his life up and use him with people, going to tell people how to come to know Jesus. And it really is going to be good. I feel a good anointing for you. You feel that?
I believe it.
I do too. Isn't that something? And you really, really are going to be used in evangelism. I mean, you're going to, people are coming and say, what happened in you? And you just tell them about Jesus. You want that, don't you?
I can feel it.
I can too. I really can feel it. God's going to use you in the days to come. He's going to use you winning people to Jesus. And that'll be a delight to your heart. A delight to your heart, okay? God bless you. You feel that?
It's wonderful.
Give me five good ones here. That's good. That's good. He's strong and good. But it's pretty nice, isn't it? Transforms people's lives. You okay? Is your ankle all right? You know anything about a hurt ankle? You know anything about that? Do you have any hurt ankle? No? Well, somebody no, don't want one either. I felt the Lord doing something with somebody's ankle there. So they, even if they don't own up to it, it's all right. It's all right. You okay? It's okay, isn't it? Yeah. She said, I got a hurt ankle. I'll take it. You really have a hurt ankle? Well, really, when I got on this row here, I felt a hurt ankle. And so, well, stand up and let's see if the Lord will do something with your ankle. We've watched him grow bones out. Really? Stand up here just a second. Let's see if the Lord will. Would you stand up and let's see if the Lord will touch your ankle? What's wrong with your ankle? Huh? It hurts. Well, Lord, heal her ankle, whatever the problem is. Yeah. We've watched God grow bones out. Isn't that weird? Really? And on television, where people could see it. No fraud, no shenanigans. God hates that shenanigan junk. You know that, don't
yes,
you?
Yes,
He hates that. Yeah. Did you ever, have you ever met that man right here? Have you ever met him? Well, might not be a bad idea to introduce yourself after the service and see what's up. Because I bet you there's some kind of a relationship cooking there. Well, good. I'm going to talk to this guy right here in the middle. Come here just a moment. And this guy right here, yeah. There you go. He said, it's going to be okay. Because he's been saying, God, I want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's really hungry for the Holy Ghost. Really hungry for the Holy Ghost. God's going to use you. I really hear the word strategy. God's going to show you how to do some stuff strategy-wise. And he said, I'm going to make you like a spiritual architect. You know, you have to, before you build something, you better get an architect. And he said he's going to do that for you. Going to show you some plans and how to construct the plans of God to facilitate the building that God wants to do. So that'll be good, won't it?
Amen.
You know, if you don't build a house right, it could fall on you. We know that, don't we? What do you do? He's a carpenter. See, yeah, yeah. See, but see, isn't that something? So you have to have blueprints if you're going to do it right. You can't just go, hey, I just start nailing and one day a house. No, the firm foundation, level, square, and then guess what? A lot of labor. But I saw you like a spiritual architect. God's going to share some plans with you and show you how to get it together. You know, it's not enough just to order a bunch of wood and concrete and say, I got my stuff together. What are you doing? Well, building a house. He could waste his concrete, couldn't he? I know what he does. Guess what he does? He cuts concrete.
Is that right?
He told me he cuts it. That's told me twice. He cut concrete. And see, that is a sign even. There's materials that can cut through hard hearts and fake foundations, isn't it? And so I believe that the Lord's going to use him that way with outreach and stuff like that. But really mess with him a couple of times. I want to pray over your head, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for strategy?
Yes.
I am too. You believe this is right?
Mm-hmm.
I do too. It's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so you better get ready. God's going to really share some stuff. Father, I want to thank you that you're sharing your building plans. I want to thank you that you're giving wisdom to build your house. And I do speak Proverbs 24:3 over this man. Wisdom is build a house, and understanding furnishes it. So Lord, make him quick of understanding. Give him divine purposes now for his life and show him how to do what he's going to do. In Jesus' name, I release these gifts on you in Jesus' name. More than he could ever understand right now. Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful anointing for him. You believe that? Yeah. That's pretty neat. So that's good. I release this for you in Jesus' name. Yeah. It's getting down here where the pump is.
Yeah.
There's a spiritual pump there. And it's pumping up. You believe that? This is a serious man here, but he's okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. Yeah. Come here just a second. I want to talk to you a minute and see. But that's a good deal. This guy picked us up when we came to Turlock. You remember?
Like Shiloh Dwayne Riddle.
You remember they picked us up at the airport?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Where's the picture? You got it with
no,
you?
No, I didn't bring it.
Well, you know, had a girl with you?
I remember.
Remember that?
Black.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was pretty neat, wasn't it? Picked us up. I asked him when it was, and I wasn't for sure.
About 2 years ago, you traveled with Gary.
Gary and Yvonne came with us. Well, that's good, but God is going to really deal with you. You're at transition, and that's what I saw, transition, but it's going to be okay. and it's not a demotion, but a promotion. And so I want you to understand that. And God looks at things different than people look at things. People look at the outside, but God examines the inside. And He really is going to teach you some things about kingdom principle and about getting the work together. And the word that we spoke to Him is a real word. I want you to look at the word mobilization. Mobilization, it's a military term. It means getting the troops and the supplies of the troops to the most advantageous place for attack. So that's what He's going to gift you to do, to mobilize, to get the troops and the material for the troops to the most advantageous place for attack. So you get an army there with no bullets, you're going to have a bunch of dead people in a real army, you know. Or you get them there and no food, you're going to have a weak army. You understand that? And so God is going to use them with provisions and where to put them. We know that part in the natural because of this meeting this morning. But this is a supernatural thing we're saying now. It's a supernatural thing. And you've been saying, oh God, am I just spinning my wheels? The Lord said, no. What you've been doing is revving your motor. You're about to get traction. You understand that? He's about to get spiritual traction. And He's going to really get some spiritual traction. And you hadn't been spinning your wheels. And God said He's going to show you how to do kingdom business. And so it's sort of like it was with Daniel's time. God gave him the spirit of understanding. And so that's what you've been looking for. And you can have it. Can I breathe on your chest? Is that okay? It sounds a little kinky, but it's all right. You know. It really is okay. In Genesis, the Bible talks about God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And it says in John 20:21, He breathed upon him. So here, in Jesus' name. It's a good guy. He really is a good guy. And he's got the anointing like was coming on Daniel, that spirit of understanding. Can I mess with you a minute? Come here, both of y'all. Come here. I want to. It's okay. Come here. She's from Texas. I found that out today. Sulphur Springs. She was from Athens. Yeah, her brother lives in Sulphur Springs.
Saltillo Weaver.
Yeah.
Yes. God forgave her.
Yeah. But Texas is all right. It's a little hot, but it's okay. I really love Texas. Well, that's good. I'm glad y'all are here. I wouldn't say anything to embarrass us, but just kind of hanging out is fun, isn't it? It's really fun. Yeah, God says you're very, very genuine and precious to Him. He really wants you to know that. You really are precious. He says Malachi is where it says when God calls you a treasure, He says to tell you you're a treasure. And it says in Malachi, it talks about when I come to take up my jewels. And so the word jewel is an acquired treasure. So that's how the Lord sees her. An acquired treasure. And so that's really good. I want you to know that great things God thinks about you. I'm sure that. And God said He's putting some things in your hands now. You're going to be able to steward some of this new move of the Spirit of God. And God is about to breathe anointing upon things that many people thought the anointing was gone. But God has been purifying. And I'll tell you what, this is Ezekiel 37 in those days. There's a shaking, but this shaking will bring things together and not apart. Ezekiel 37, I prophesied as I was commanded, and there came a shaking. And bone came to bone. And they stood upon their feet in exceeding army. So this shaking will just shake away what's not of God. And will congeal what is of God. And this thing, there's going to be an exceeding great army standing on its feet. It's Ezekiel 37. It really is. And so you'll find that out. It really is good. So He's going to trust your hands. He said these hands are faithful. 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 Now, and they have power. And God said, I'm going to trust true riches to you. I'm talking about kingdom riches. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about true riches where it says if we're unjust over little, we get that taken away. But if we're faithful over the little, we get entrusted with the true riches. Everybody say true riches. And God said He's going to put true kingdom riches in your hands. Okay? It really is good. And you're going to find that out. And I'll tell you another thing. You're going to love the prophetic. You are going to love the prophetic. It's going to be exactly like it was in the Old Testament when they would seek out the prophet of the Lord and say, is there a word from the Lord? And God will start giving you confirmation exactly right to what you're to do. And so you're going to love the prophetic. And you're a tie-in, and there's a moving in now of the prophetic into this thing that's got your hands on, and it's going to be good. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. So I like this. It's real good. Plus, you're right in the right place.
Thank you.
You're going to see. Yes. You're going to see. I tell you, the latter is going to be far greater than the former. The latter end is going to be much superior to anything you've seen in the first beginning. It's strategic, is right.
You know, for this age, that it's not just, you know, hey, it's for all of us.
It's for all of us.
It's for all of us.
It is. This move of the Spirit. I saw Harry, is that this guy's name, Harry, and he's hungry after the Holy Ghost. And God has really got His hand extended towards him. And I spoke with him and his wife yesterday. And so they're going to get some insight to meticulous things of God, little details that we would overlook. And so they'll get some insight to that. Well, we've just been rattling on. Just rattling on. Champions of the air. F-14. You know anything about flying? You want to? Just a few weeks ago, we were in California, Maryland, where they base these. They train those pilots for those the fighters. And one of the men we were with, and he invented the spin roll, the thing they taught them how to roll the planes to keep the Sidewinder missiles from shooting them down. And he said, I'll carry you if you want to. I said, get me a hurl bag and let's go. You know, because they do all these spin things. And, you know, I'd need a garbage pail, wouldn't I? You know, hurl these chunks. But I was really amazed at that, at those airplanes. Good. I'm looking at this big guy in the back.
I know. I just prayed. Yeah. I said, Lord, would you just direct Bobby back there too?
Yeah. My wife said, direct him.
I started to say, let's go with the guy in the black shirt.
Look at him. He said, oh no, he's coming back here. It's okay. It really is okay. Come here, I want to talk to you.
I just prayed.
Hey, what's your name?
Felix.
Felix. This is Carol and I'm Bobby. How you doing? Tell me your name.
Lori.
I started to say Lupe. Is that what does Lupe mean in Spanish? You know, Lupe, Lupe. That's what I saw when I looked at her. I saw Lupe. Yeah, well, that's pretty good. And your name was what?
Felix.
Felix. Come up here just a little. Yeah, pretty stocky. We're not going to get in a tussling match unless we have to. Yeah, it's going to be okay. What do you do?
No idea.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things. Yeah. No, I work for a tool company.
Huh. Another man worked for a tool company. I was in this building the other night. Did something about tools. Well, that's good. I feel like a body shop, really. Do you mess with cars?
No, it's for taping tools.
Yeah, but I felt you're not restoring a car. You know anything about that?
No,
I feel like we're painting a car. You hadn't been messing around with somebody painting a car, have you? Hanging around with somebody painting a car? Tell him, has he?
Yeah.
That's what I feel. I feel like we're painting, doing body work on a car. And so that's pretty neat. But sometimes the Lord shows us what kind of car and everything about it. And if there's any mechanical failures in it, really, we've got it documented sometimes. But I really felt that. And so I think there's something about that. And I feel anointing for you. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost for him. Really. I'm serious about it. I feel it all over his hands. Really. And